The text of our message is found in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8, verse 28 to 34. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of the coast. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. In the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he gave them the power in order that they may be able to do the work with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, confirming their work with signs and wonders, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to speak in new tongues, and even to hold the serpent and not be hurt. And if they take in any poison, they also will be protected. These powers were given only to the apostles. And that is stated in Acts chapter 5, verse 11, that to the apostles were given the power to do signs and wonders. And Mark chapter 16, verse 20, the last verse, tells us why. In order that the word that was preached might be confirmed by these signs and wonders. As the apostles went, these miracles were especially mentioned with the names of Peter and Paul. Truly, signs and wonders followed the hands of the apostles. But as time went on, when the church was beginning to be established and more established, you will read in the latter part of Acts, after Acts chapter 20, that the signs were not much mentioned, because there was no need for these signs and wonders to be practiced in order that the church might go on. Saint Augustine, a church father of the 5th century and the greatest Christian philosopher, he observed that these gifts were slowly withdrawn because the church was established and there was no need, so that in his time, he did not experience all these miracles and wonders. Now it comes to the point that in the year 1900, exactly at the beginning of the 20th century, there arose a movement to go back to the Bible. They think that it is time that we recapture the gifts of the early church. And so the tongues movement began. And together with the movement of the tongues speaking, there was a movement for healing sicknesses and to cast out devils. And it became so rampant that they say ordinary members can also do the same. At first it was the church leaders. And because of this widespread movement of the charismatics, so that it is most rampant today, many counterfeit things happen. Counterfeit tongues, counterfeit healing, counterfeit casting out of devils. And there was one minister of the BB Church who got into this mess of casting out devils. But the devil is so much stronger than we. It's not a simple thing to indulge in it. And the reason was that he was totally disabled. And the brethren, the elders, impressed upon him that there is a casting of devils but by the apostles and by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For us, in the present situation as pastors, to indulge in the casting of devils is not recorded in the Bible. But the charismatics go on, and they wax so strong, but in the wrong direction, with some sort of a hypnotic power. They begin to show to the church their power by what they call slaying in the spirit, by twist of a hand, and then the people fall down. But Wang Mingtao, who in the very early days of the 20th century, this happened in the year around 1920. Wang Mingtao was a young man. He was converted by a charismatic preacher, and he got into speaking of tongues. But soon he realized the whole thing was counterfeit, so he got out of it. And he condemned the slaying of the Spirit as not the teaching of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. There is nothing like that, slaying in the Spirit. But there was one case in the Old Testament, namely King Saul. He wanted to go and arrest David, but he was stuck with Samuel and the prophets. And then he lay naked in the open, as it were slain in the spirit. That's the only case. And Wang Mingtao condemned this sort of practice in a charismatic movement. And so, quite a number of years ago, I told you once before, there came a German charismatic leader called Reinhard Bonnke. And he came with a lot of show of power and strength. Even the Anglican paper, I remember very clearly, stated that this man will come and open the eyes of the blind and heal and cause a lame to walk. That statement is very clearly remembered by me. And so many people came. But he did nothing of the sort of opening the eyes or causing the lame to walk. And this I told you once before, it's very interesting. In the postmortem, there were a lot of testimonies. And one young lady said that she had an operation on the left eye and was not very perfect. But because Reinhard Bonnke came, her left eye was healed completely and could see very clearly. But then she added, "Now I'm going to hospital for a second operation on my right eye." Well, it doesn't seem logical. If he had healed your left eye, why didn't he heal your right eye so that you need not go to the hospital? Today, this charismatic movement, the slaying of the spirit, is headed by one called Benny Hinn. And Benny Hinn had come here once before. Slaying the spirit, the same thing he did. And I saw this on the TV in Perth last year, June, early in the morning. I purposely wanted to watch what he would be doing. Two strong men, muscular, stood in the front to challenge him. And when he switched his hand, they spat back at him. Once more they spat back, and he knew he was helpless. So he quickly, slyly turned to the girls. They have completely no power. And I said, if they have the power to do miracles and wonders and to open the eyes of the blind, to cause a lame to walk, I said, then Jesus has lost his job. But here we have the two men who are possessed by devils. And when Jesus Christ came, they knelt before him, cringing and asking for mercy. "Jesus, the Son of David, have you come? You are the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? Oh Jesus, let us, if you cast us out, go into the herd of pigs." And Jesus said, "Yes, go." To further manifest his power, not like the charismatics, they have no power at all, being puny men. But Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. And he displays his power in a very quiet way and cast them out. In another part of the Bible, it tells the story when Jesus asked them, "What is your name?" And they said, "Our name is Legion." Legion is the way they count the Roman army. And one legion is 6,000 to 3,000 men. So these two men were possessed with so many devils. That's why they cut themselves and they live in the tombs, far away from mankind, and no one would be able to pass the way that they go. Jesus is so great because he is the Son of God. Jesus is so great, he's the Lord of heaven and earth. Just before this incident, Jesus was on the boat with the disciples, and there was such a great tempest. And the boat was filled with water, with the waves, just about to sink. But Jesus arose from his sleep, and he said, "Peace, be still." The sea and the waves obeyed him immediately. To send the devils into the pigs is to show him that he is the creator of heaven and earth, and he rules over every creature. But the reason why the charismatic movement has no power at all is because they misinterpret. They want to take over from the apostles, who were particularly given those powers to establish a church. There is no need for us to have any miracles or signs and wonders as they try to restore today another one of the charismatic leaders called John Wimber, but he's now with the Lord. When he went to Sydney, he charged $150 Australian for each one to attend his meetings. And the people asked him, why you charge so much? He said, well, that is for the kingdom of God. A charlatan. And he challenged us that we must have power evangelism. There are two types of evangelism. One is ordinary, one is power. And he has signs and wonders. But he could not do a single thing. Why? He tried to take this prerogative, special powers given to the apostles to themselves. And worst of all, they try to popularize it and say, even ordinary members can pray and heal and cast out devils. It's very interesting to see these charismatic meetings, young people laying their hands on the head of each other and they pray. But, as has been attested, there is no power at all. I will tell you a story. One day I went to a charismatic meeting. It was in order to find out this charismatic leader, to see what he's trying to do, because in Penang, he studied the case of a certain doctor's son, and having known all, he was trying to buy his contact to get money from him. And this man is called Dr. Gray, an American charismatic healer. And the first thing he said to us, you don't tell me your sickness, I'll tell you. I got a shock. How can he do it? Then he pointed to the lady sitting in front, four or five of them. The Lord tells me that among this group, then he widened his pointing among this group, included about 30 or 40 of them. One of you is a diabetic. Seeing some of the ladies are rather pale faced. One of you is a diabetic. He was not able to come and say to me, of course, if he asked me, if you want to tell me what sickness I have, I'll tell him I've got none. I'm very healthy. At once I realized that he was a charlatan. He was a fake. So I walked out of the meeting. Today, what I say about charismatism, I'm not afraid. My sermon is on the website and they can get even my voice. But there's another preacher by the name of Dr. Stephen Tong, very famous. He is from Indonesia and he preaches in Chinese and Indonesian and in English. He is another one who points out the errors of the charismatics. But from my experience of a truly powerful Holy Ghost revival, and there was not any speaking of tongues, but the messages caused the people to weep for their sins in repentance to be born again, caused the people who cheated and had kept stolen money to give back to their bosses and to the proper place And some of them, having many years taken the money, now return it and put it into the church. These were the results. This was the 1935 Pentecost, I call it, in Singapore. The campaign of Dr. John Soong. He could very well be called the Apostle of China. The Lord raised him up throughout China and Southeast Asia. And several hundred thousand souls are saved. That is literally so. One of his best confidants, William Schubert, said that in 3 years he had won 100,000 souls. This in the book. But throughout his 15 years ministry, he had won several hundred thousand. He did practice healing. But he told us that it was not because he wanted, but a British missionary in China had influenced him to do this faith healing. Because in China, throughout many hundred miles, you cannot find any medical care. So for the sake of the sick and the poor, he practiced healing. But he did not heal like these people. They come in right away, they heal. He preached exactly 40 sermons in 2 weeks' time. After that, he had one afternoon for healing. Now, he did not claim that he would open the eyes of the blind or cause a lame to walk. But he said, I do my best. And truly many people were healed. Healed in having your chain smoking habit snap. Healed in having your alcoholic drinks, being addicted to wine, snap. And I will tell you the story of two persons. The first one was none other than my father. He was trying to cut out his smoking. He was a chain smoker and I was a cigarette boy. I know all the names of the cigarettes. And he could not do anything. But after hearing John Soong 3 or 4 times, he came back one night, brought out all his cigarettes, Chinese tobacco, and he made a bonfire of it and told the whole family, children, you see, today I've been delivered of this habit. And we were all so happy and surprised. That was my father. The second one was from an elder of a Lim Chu Kang Presbyterian Church, Elder Sim. And he became such a prayer warrior. When he prayed, I could feel the power of his prayer. He was delivered also from chain smoking. And also from drinking habit. He said, I threw all my cigarettes and wine bottles into the drain. And these no more bother me. Well, I've seen that in this campaign, the Lord had heard the prayers of His very faithful servant. Now the question to ask today is, does the Lord heal today? Does the Lord heal as He healed the two who were possessed by the devils? And He even allowed the devils to go into the pigs to show forth even more His power. And I say, today Jesus is the same as yesterday and today and forevermore. He does heal. But it must be not according to the charismatics way, by one touch and they were healed, but by earnest seeking Him and studying the Word of God, that the Word of God may change the hearts of the people. And the problem today is drug addiction. And I'm referring to the helping hand that we are supporting all through the years. I counted on my fingers. There have been at least 10 that are delivered from this drug rehabilitation center. It's a Christian one that uses the Bible and the Word of God to change them. And out of these 10, 3 are very eminent ones. One is married to one of our Bible college girls, and he is now a missionary to Thailand. He obtained a BTH degree. Another one was so wonderfully converted. He also graduated from this college, and he is now the director of the House of Hope in Cebu, in the Philippines. And it has over 60 inmates, and now they are opening a female department. A third one has gone to Batam and opened also a drug rehabilitation center. So these are three of our Bible college graduates. If we come humbly to Him, if we seek Him with all our heart, begging Him, surrendering all to Him, like the two possessed devils, and they cry out to Him, giving Him all the glory, the Lord will hear. But here is a mystery of our obtaining salvation and release from the Lord, and that is, we can never dictate, we can never demand, we are only beggars. If the Lord be willing, He will heal. And today this applies to our sick. We have listed every week those who are sick, and those who are in great trouble because they have been involved in supposedly incurable sicknesses. It is important that we only cast ourselves on Him and ask the Lord for mercy. And there is no such thing as resentment to say, why doesn't the Lord heal me? I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. Like the man on the Jericho road, blind Bartimaeus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And we can only cry the same, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Those of us who are sick, those of us who are involved. And if He will, He will surely touch us. So we must keep on praying and seeking and giving up our will to the Lord. If He doesn't heal us, He also has a higher purpose. But important thing is, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in all humility. And so we thank God for our three graduates from the Helping Hand. One is a missionary, one is now the leader and the director of their branch in Philippines with 60 inmates, and one has gone to do the work in Batam. All glory to the Lord. The wrong way of trying to heal and to cast out devils through tongue speaking, which are never in all the histories that I've studied of revivalism before our present generation. But if they persist in claiming the powers of the apostles and try to cast out devils or heal, they have misinterpreted the Bible and they will not succeed. That way, if we humbly call on the Lord, and St. James says, calling on the elders to pray, the elders of the church to come and pray and seek in all humility, and if the Lord will hear, we will be healed. We thank God also that in all the sicknesses that are advertised in a weekly sheet, there was one lady upon the wise operation by a doctor of this church was recovered completely from liver cancer. And she lived 2 years happily without any trouble. Finally, when she reached the ripe old age of 84, the sickness came back. But there was no pain. And she realized that it was a time for her to prepare to go home. And she looked up to the Lord. If it is the Lord's will for us to go home, we must also obey Him. But all who come and seek Him humbly, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, if He wills, He will heal us. So that is a lesson today we learn from the two who are possessed of devils. But the devils cringe before the Lord and beg for mercy. In the same way, if we beg for mercy and come to Him, we leave it to the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, help us, humble us before Thee. We now again pray for the sick of everyone that is on our weekly list. If it be Thy will, O Lord, touch this person and that person. We only leave it to Your mercies and Your grace. And we believe, humbly as we come before Thee, You will hear us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.